Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Let's read the scripture. We're going to look at Isaiah 43. I'm reading almost the entire chapter. I know that's long. I do not have it on the screen. So I wanted you to either open your phones or your Bibles or whatever you're using and follow along. And I think it's significant. So what I'd like to do is kind of go through this and look at how this passage, some of the truths in it apply to you, to Israel, but then quickly how it applies to us, to me, to you, and then how it does apply to the Global Methodist Church. And I see application in all three levels there. So let's read this passage, Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba as your in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses, and they will be that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again, and they have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself, will declare my praise. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for this passage of scripture, the promises that we hear, the answers to prayer we have seen. But Lord, we look ahead to a new thing, to your work among us, O God. Open our eyes to see this day, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's not really a memory verse, but a theme verse, maybe a memory verse. Verse 1. I actually have always skipped beyond this verse, but I've kind of been taken back to it. So would you read this with me? But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. Isaiah 43:1. Just keep that slide up. Let's read that last part together. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. I think we need to hear that as a people. We need to hear that as individuals. Somebody here probably personally needs to hear that today. Do not fear. I have called you. You are mine. Well, it's been 15 months now since the launch of the Global Methodist Church. I remember actually Jeremy was either doing the announcements or preaching that Sunday, and I really wasn't going to make a big deal about it. Jeremy's like, today's the day we've launched the church. I'm like, okay, we're there, yes. You know, and amen. Thank you for that. At Oakland, we weren't really quite a part of that yet because our annual conference wasn't meeting to vote for a whole year yet. But there were a lot of annual conferences that were voting and were meeting, and they couldn't wait any longer. And that was when the United Methodist Church had postponed its general conference one more time. And it was clear that the protocol, that peaceful separation that everyone was hoping for, was not going to happen. And so they said, okay, we're done waiting, here we go. And so they launched it. We launched the Global Methodist Church. We didn't become a member of that till over a year later, but it has been going. It has been formed. We joke about it's like we're building the plane as we take off, and it's really true. I mean, we're flying now and we're still tweaking things and trying to put things together. But that's what it is. But we have, in that 15-month period, people have been working, mostly volunteers, most people doing this on their own time or spare time or making time. And it's amazing what has happened. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but I'll give you some numbers. We right now, I think we have around 3,100 congregations. That's around the world. 3,100 congregations. We have about 3,400 clergy, and there are more being added weekly. I'm literally, it's almost daily. I mean, because there's such a backup because everyone is doing this on their spare time, you know, so we only have a few employed people. And so it's hard to get things, you know, done as quickly as you need them done. But we are growing rapidly, and it's super excited. In your bulletins, your notes, I have given you the 15 regional bodies. We call them regional bodies because we're not quite sure, like the ones that are overseas, are they going to be called conferences? Are we all conferences? But basically, these are annual conferences. Five of these 15 are outside the United States. Notice we're listed number 2, Allegheny West. We used to be known as Western Pennsylvania. Now in the Global Methodist Church, we are called Allegheny West Annual Conference. Includes East Ohio, West Ohio, and Western Pennsylvania. And we're super excited to be a part of that list. Down below that, you see a transitional conference advisory teams. We were that until just a few months ago, because that's until you get organized, they have this temporary team that's kind of pull things together. So there are 7 teams that are actively working. And you can see those, and the Philippines is also included in that. And hopefully very soon they will become full-blown annual conferences. God is doing a mighty work in our midst, and we can celebrate that. What do I say about this passage? Well, there's a whole lot of different directions you can go with this Isaiah 43. But as I was reading over and over, it kept coming with these 3 statements that kept standing out. And it was really kind of when God would begin to address the people. The first one is that God is our creator. Look at verse 1. Behold, now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob. It is he who formed you, O Israel. You know, and I thought about that. I want to thank Josiah for doing such a great job last week. And I know Josiah kind of gave a history of Israel. And so I was thinking about how that creator, God creating us, is kind of a historic event. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. God is the creator. That's how we got here, you know. I'm always amazed. You know, we try to rectify the fossils and dinosaurs and everything else, and yet now I know they're finding dinosaur fossils with mammals in their stomachs. It's like, well, how did that happen? Because the dinosaurs were millions of years before the mammals. Yeah, maybe. There's still a mystery about all that, and I don't have that figured out. But God is our creator. He created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, of course, we know fell. They got kicked out of the garden. And eventually, all of humanity got so bad that Noah and the flood came along, right? And God started over again with one family, with Noah's family. And then again, after, you know, times of struggle, God decided he would begin with one family, the family of Abraham. And he sent Abraham to a land where he would send him and said, I will bless all the nations of the world through you, and I will make you a mighty nation. Well, Abraham never became the mighty nation, but we do know that Jesus comes through Abraham's lineage. And so he is the blessing of all the world. And all the blessing of all people. Well, after that, Jacob, Abraham's grandson, had 12 sons. They become the 12 tribes of Israel, and they eventually end up in Egypt. They went, how many were there when it went into Egypt? How many? 70 went into Egypt. And after 400 years of slavery and terrible times in Egypt, they came out over a million. So the promise of becoming a great nation happened in that period of time of slavery in Egypt. And so they get to the promised land, and they even get a king, and eventually they fall away from God again. And this time God refuses to let them not be the people of God. Okay? Basically, that's what I see the Babylonian captivity. God says, you will be my people, and I'm going to train you to be my people. So he boots them out of the promised land, and they spend 70 years in Babylon. You know, eventually the Jews are scattered all over the world, and God begins to call them back. And so this really is, Isaiah 43 is really about God calling his people back from the Babylonian captivity and from all the world. But notice, God created Israel to be the people of God. And then we find also that God created in Jesus us, all who will call upon the Lord, to be the people of God, the church. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, it's amazing. Chapter 15, verses 15 through 18, you'll find all the creating description used in reference to Jesus. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him, through Jesus, and for him. He is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. He himself will come and have first place in everything. So we find that we were made, the church today, we are here because we were created by Jesus Christ, by the Lord. We are his. God is our creator. I think about Psalm 139 personally. Now I want you to bring it home, not to church, but me, you. Psalm 139 is one of the most beautiful psalms. If you have a low self-esteem or you are struggling with who you are, you should read that. Spend some time in Psalm 139. Verse 14 says, I will praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You know the old saying that God doesn't create junk. You ain't junk. Okay, excuse the grammar, but you're not junk. The Lord has made you. God doesn't create without a purpose. You have been made on purpose. I don't care. I mean, if you're, whatever the issue was in your life, whether whatever. Where you've come, I'm thinking of Tim Tebow, who was, you know, mother was going to commit to have an abortion, you know, and he somehow survives that. And God has a purpose for him. God has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter your heritage, what you've been through in life, where you know, whether you went through the foster system, whether you've been adopted, whether you have a great family life. You know, God's got a purpose for you. He doesn't create without a purpose. You matter. You are needed. You are needed in the kingdom. You are needed in the church. You are needed on this earth. You might be sitting back like, how am I needed? Well, you better find out. You better get following Jesus with all your heart, because he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. God will work out his plan in you and through you. In you and through you. God created the Global Methodist Church as well for such a time as this. For such a time as this. As I said, we have over 3,100 congregations. We have over 3,400 clergy in those 15 conferences and 7 ready-to-go conferences. In Western Pennsylvania, we are the Allegheny West. We are the largest of the conferences in the Global Methodist Church. We have the most churches. We have we are just the largest conference. I was trying to get a figure on how many Clergy we have, and I can't get an answer. They said it's a moving target. We don't know for sure. We're growing so fast we can't count the numbers. We're right around 400 clergy in Western Pennsylvania. Allegheny West. Well, I have troubles. Help me with that. And I know right now we have 523 churches, and that's growing. The reason that's growing is because so many that just disaffiliated since June have put application in, and they're in the pipeline. So they have to meet with one group and then another group, and then they have to be approved. And every week, almost every other day, I get an email saying, these two churches have now been approved. Like, okay, so we just keep adding more. But we're at about 523 churches. Currently, as I said, we used to be Western Pennsylvania, now we're Allegheny West. We used to be in the Johnstown district. In the new denomination, the Global Methodist Church, we won't have districts, we'll have circuits. And the idea of a circuit is there'll be less number of churches, around 15 to 20 charges, which, you know, could be more churches. And so, and they'll be led by a presiding elder. So we're hoping to have about 25 presiding elders across the Allegheny West Conference, and they will be leading these circuits. So we will be in the Johnstown-Ebensburg Circuit. Okay, that's our new designation. We'll be in the Johnstown-Ebensburg Circuit. There's about 30 churches, you know, about 15 charges right now. We're still adding them because some are just now getting their paperwork in. But it's exciting times, and that will be our focus of ministry. So the local church is where ministry happens. That's here, okay? And if we want to cooperate together, the first place we cooperate is in this circuit of Johnstown and Ebensburg. So it's exciting. Numbers aren't the only thing, amen? Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. I don't even think Oakland will have to change our mission. We, you know, to make passionate, compassionate followers of Jesus. I mean, that's right up what we're living into. But we are, I'm telling you, the Global Methodist Church and we here at Oakland are Jesus-loving, gospel-preaching, Holy Spirit-empowered movement of our day. Amen. Our world needs us. I mean, we need to stop holding our heads down or worried that we know they don't like us. The world needs us. We have the answer. Amen? They need us desperately. And I believe God has created the Global Methodist Church not just to reform United Methodism. I believe he has called the Global Methodist Church together for such a time as this because the world needs someone who will proclaim the gospel, a movement that is on fire and on the move. That's who we are. That's what's happening. So buckle your seatbelt, you know. We are in for a ride, amen? Amen. I love John. When I try to describe what John Wesley was doing in the 1700s, he was trying to ride a revival. He was trying to steer a revival. The revival was happening, but he was just trying to steer it. My friends, a revival was happening in our midst, and we just want to hang on and be a part of what God is doing. Amen. You'll see, hopefully I remember to bring this out. There's some other insights in this passage that I think support that. Second part, God is our Savior. Look at the next line, verse 3. Here again is this other kind of introduction. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And it goes on to talk about not only is he our Creator, but he has redeemed us. And he said, I will give in ransom for you, in exchange for you. I am going to buy you back. Not only did I create you and you're mine, but now I'm going to buy you back. You are completely mine. And notice that it talks about how God is alone God. It says, before me there is no God formed, and there will be none after me. That's verse 10. And I liked last week Josiah when he preached from the great Shema, that Deuteronomy 6 passage, where it says God is one. You know, he is only. That's who we worship God only. There's only one God. And we live that. We own that. We celebrate that. Notice verse 11. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. And there was no other gods that have done that. And then he goes on to say, you are my witnesses. Now, if you read that passage, it's almost like, let's recount what God did in the past, and the world can come in and bring their witnesses. But God says, I am the Savior, there is none other. I have done this. And then he says, you are my witnesses. We are his witnesses. Now I want you to notice the point of Isaiah 43 that I always got before was that we are his witnesses and we are not to be afraid. Because he would protect us, he would deliver us, he would bring us through the waters and through the rivers and through the fire. All our job was just to proclaim. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid in this culture. Hold your head up high. Share who you believe what you believe. Share what you believe. And let the chips fall where they will. My friends, we have been called. I have prided myself all my life of trying to do the right thing. Well, after I got saved. I mean, before that, I didn't care about that at all. But trying to do the right thing. And yet, in doing the right thing, we have been called all kinds of names. Remember when we did the fun Sunday and I had the crazy Hebrew sideburns on and stuff? Somebody got that online and was posting hate about us. About me. Whoever posts hate about me, I don't even post stuff, you know? I found out about a month later, someone said, yeah, when they were trashing Oakland. I'm like, what? Somebody was trashing Oakland? You know, and here was some people saw that and somehow didn't. They were offended that we were taking an offering for disaffiliation and we had costumes on and they were like all upset about it. Like, really? Wow, that's crazy. We have been called, Bible-believing conservative Christians in the United Methodist denomination, we have been called everything. We have been called viruses. At one general conference, they said we were like the Ebola virus that needed to be eradicated from the church. We have been called bigots. We've been called haters. We've been called dividers. We've been called everything. It just so happens, I think that we're Jesus-minded. Amen? I think that we're biblically oriented. Amen? I think that we actually love the world more than the world loves themselves. You know, we actually have a hope for the world and a hope for those that are lost and confused and needing help. You are my witnesses. Don't fear. Don't worry about the fires. Don't worry about the floods. God is faithful. He will see you through it. He says, don't be afraid. What did he say he would do? He would bring your children from the east and from the west. As I was reading that this morning early on, I just thought of my kids. I thought of some of your kids. And I thought, the Lord says, you be my witnesses. I'll bring your kids in. Just trust the Lord. Just rest in him. I will bring them from the east and the west. And I want you to notice in those verses, there's a transition from your kids to my kids. Isn't that what it is, right? They're your kids until they come to Jesus, then they're his kids. Amen? Amen? Notice it says, I will bring your offspring from the east and gather them from the west. And then it says, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters, everyone who calls on my name. I'm so glad to have the flags up again. Hopefully we don't put them up again. It's a lot of work. No, but I mean, it reminds us that we are a global church. And the Lord is calling people from the ends of the earth to come to him. Everyone can come to Jesus. Everyone is included. No one's excluded. Everyone is welcome. And we want to continue to proclaim that as the gospel. One of the key elements in the Global Methodist Church is church multiplication. We are all about, I mean, home groups, I know my home group now has grown to love each other so much they now don't want to split. I said, it's not splitting, it's multiplying. they won't hear it. But we're going to do it. We have to, because that's what we're about. We're about multiplying. We're about reaching out. And the church, the Global Methodist Church is about planting churches. Since the beginning in May 1st, we have planted about 100 new churches. I'm not talking about churches that disaffiliated and joined the Global Methodist Church. I'm talking about planting brand new churches. A couple of weeks ago, Betty Jo Greenway was here in church, and she's a former pastor's wife. And she said, yeah, my home church, Grove City, didn't disaffiliate, so now I don't know what I'll do. I mean, I'm not really happy about it. Well, there's been several churches in the area that didn't disaffiliate, and they had a planning meeting a couple of weeks ago where they, in the Grove City, Slippery Rock, and Harrisonville area, said if someone wants to just talk about planting a church. I think 58 people showed up and they planted a church that day. They broke those 58 people into home groups. And they're starting to plan a way of planting a Global Methodist Church in that area. So one of the questions for the Johnstown, Evansburg area is, where do we need another church? Most of you say, another church in Johnstown. We don't need another church. But where is there, in that area, is there not a Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching, Spirit-empowered church that is proclaiming the gospel in the Wesleyan, in the Wesleyan tradition? And I mean, I've got some ideas. I've already thought of some areas where we might do that. But multiplication. The goal has been set in the next 7 years that we will plant 3,500 churches. So, I mean, that's all across the entire world. I mean, but that's the plan. Church planting, reaching the lost, bringing them in. That's what God's done to do. Finally, the last one is God is our King. And he said in verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Your King. Now, you know what the king does what he wants to do, period, right? He did whatever he says, that's what goes in the kingdom. Now, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be political at all, but in America, we've kind of, the Congress has kind of quit ruling the country, and now we've been just being ruled by kings. I mean, really, when Obama was in, I don't even, before that, I didn't even know there was such a thing as an executive order. What that means is you're the king, and you just say what happens. You know, and we're supposed to have checks and balances in America, but when Obama was in, he just signed all these executive orders. You know, and then when Trump got in, he undid all those executive orders. He signed his own executive orders. Then Biden got in, he undid all those executive orders and signed his own executive orders. They're just, presidents are acting like kings. You know, they're not working with Congress anymore. I mean, it's just doing their own thing. You know, well, we don't live that way. Who's the king? Jesus is King. Amen. Amen. God says, I am the King. What I do will happen. He says, I am doing a new thing. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what presidents do. It doesn't matter what earthly kings decide. I am in charge. And so what does he say here? He says, do not recall the former things or ponder the past. Behold, I am doing something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I like an older translation that says, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Are you not aware of it? God is doing a new thing. I love it when he told the disciples, open your eyes to the fields, for they are white for harvest. They're white for harvest. My friends, that's what God is telling us today. Our culture, our world is ripe for harvest. They need to hear the message of Jesus. God is doing a new thing, and that is our opportunity to plug in. Now, for Israel, this was really about the return from Babylon. Notice that the interaction where he talks about the mighty waters. You know, the waters, and it says the horse and the chariot and the army. It says, who will bring forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man? They have fallen and won't get up. You know, then that's talking about coming from Egypt. In the Exodus. But now he says, I'm doing a new thing. What's the new thing? Well, he isn't going to part the waters. He's going to make a highway in the desert, a highway in the wilderness. And it isn't that he's going to in part waters. He's going to bring waters. He's going to open springs in the desert. That's the miracle. And if you go to Israel today, they will tell you, we are a garden. We are blooming in the desert. Now, unfortunately, the majority of Israel takes credit for themselves. You know, they're saying, yeah, we are the nation of Israel. Look what we have done, you know. But the believers there, the some of the black-hatted Jews, I mean, the Orthodox Jews, but also really the born-again believers, the Messianic Jews, they know that God is doing a work among them. He is doing a miracle. That is the new work that he's doing. He says, don't call to mind the former things. Well, some of the former things, I would say, number one, all the horrors of Egypt, don't call those to mind anymore. You know, and for us, we need to learn to stop fighting. I've been good trying to not be a fighter. But in Methodism, United Methodism, ever since the 1972, we have been fighting. And we have learned to fight well. We have all these different advocacy groups and, you know, pay money. And basically, we're just fighting against each other. But when do we need to learn to stop fighting? I love the passage in Isaiah that says that we need to learn to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. You know, we need to learn to stop fighting and start working together. How do we start fighting and start trusting? If we believe the Bible, we believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he is transforming our and those who believe in him through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can work together. We can start sowing seeds and planting churches. And we need to learn to stop fighting. I think that's part of what we need to forget. The other part is all the great things of the heyday of the past. I mean, Methodism has a great history, and we've got great stuff to celebrate. But I believe God is on the edge of doing something brand new in our midst, that our world needs, and our world will be blessed. I believe England avoided revolution because of the revival that took place in England. And I believe right now we're on the edge of coming unglued as a society. And I believe our hope is Jesus. And we need to proclaim him. We need to proclaim him loud and clear. A number of years ago, Darlene and I went on a mission trip. And I was first saved. Darlene and I were 20. I know because it was 1975. 20, Darlene. Wow. Little kids, we hadn't been out of town anywhere. I had never flown a plane much. We went to Honduras and spent 3 weeks. And I know when we were there with people that on our tour group were up to 80. So they looked at us like these little babies on this trip, and we felt like little babies, honestly. But they would give their testimony, and I was pretty green in the faith. And they were from the holiness movement, so they would stand up and say, I was saved in 1960, sanctified in 1965, and that was it. And I'm like, I didn't know how to do that. I was giving my testimony. I was telling this big, long story about what Jesus was doing in my life and, you know, how he had led me to himself. And I had a whole different story, but they just stood up and started spouting numbers and dates. And I'm like, wow, that's different. I didn't even know what they were talking about, honestly. But what scared me was that their testimonies were 30 years old. What about your testimony? How old is it? Can you say what the Lord has done in your life like a week ago? Today? A month ago? You know, that's one of the interesting things of the home groups. Most of the closing questions, it deals with what are you seeing this week? What are you hearing this week? What's God doing in your life this week? And it's like, oh, wow, it has to be current. And I think part of that, forget the past, is don't dwell on what he's done in the past. You want to celebrate what he's done in the past. And you want to use that as a foundation. But what's the Lord doing in your life today? If he is the king, the biggest question would be, is he king of your life? I know everybody is associated with the Global Methodist Church. Jesus is Lord of that movement. He is doing a super work. And now you are all members. If you were a member of the Oakland United Methodist Church, you are now a member of the Oakland Church of Johnstown, a global Methodist Church community. You are already there. But the big question is Jesus king of your life? Will you make him the Lord of your life? Will you choose today to say, yes, Lord? I remember a few years ago when I was here. Boy, Darlene and I were just here a couple years, and we were kind of setting out the vision for the future of the church. And I remember saying, I will give my life for that vision. I will give my life for this church, because I believe that's what God was calling us to. And everything I know about the Global Methodist Church, and when we started into this, I said, if the Lord can use us to get out of this mess and to help the denomination in any way, well, God has done that. We are out of this. We're in a new place. Amen? And God is using us. He's using Oakland. He's using us to impact the Global Methodist Church and the kingdom of God in the world. And I am not that I should be surprised, but I'm completely overwhelmed and blessed to say thank you, Lord. I can't believe it. I don't want, it's just human language. But I just can't believe that God is actually bringing it to pass. But he has. And so I want to give you an opportunity to recommit your life to Christ and to commit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, I've been praying this covenant prayer, as I've shared that with some, and some people have come back to me and say, I've been praying that prayer every day now. I pray that every morning in my devotions. And finally, after about months and months, I finally have it memorized. Boy, it took me. I'm slow. I'm getting slower to memorize things. But I want you to stand. It's in your bulletin. You can or your notes. You can take it with you. But before we receive Holy Communion, I want us to pray this covenant prayer together. So please stand, and let's share this together. It has nothing to do with the Global Methodist Church. It has everything to do with Jesus. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.